of is your visa valid? If I keep back away.
Thank you. Good evening to you all, and as you can see quite clearly, hopefully, that our title which we're going to concentrate on this evening is your visa valid? And you may well ask the question while you are looking at that particular title, valid for what? Because there could be a number of reasons why you would like to have a valid visa. Maybe it's for a short visit to some faraway country. On the other hand, it may be that you would like a visa that would permit you and allow you to work in a foreign country for, say, a short period of time. But having said that, you may want a visa to put forward a proposal that you want to leave the current country you are living in and permanently emigrate to somewhere else in the world. So there are one or two different reasons why you need a specific visa. But for whatever reason you want this visa, then we have to say it could run out. It's not always there forever. And that all depends, of course, on the regulations laid down in that particular visa and to which particular country it is that you are going or which you have applied for. And so then, having said that, you have decided what you want to do, you'll get all the necessary forms, you'll fill them all in accordingly, and you have to answer the questions correctly and honestly, and if you have been taking drugs, you have to say you've been taking drugs. And if you're a criminal, you have to put down that you are a criminal. And so you've got to answer them perfectly. And so then, along with your visa, you can take your passport and you are free, more or less, to go to anywhere in the world. As long as you have one of those. A passport. Because one goes hand in hand with the other. However, it is at this point I'm going to cheat a little bit and I'm going to alter the title and I'm going to add two more words to it because I think it makes it a little bit more interesting and something that we would probably like a little bit better than what we've already got, and that is for life. Now that makes it impressive, doesn't it? Anything for life is impressive because a visa, along with a passport, has a limited time span. And I'm sure most of us have a passport, and we can be sure, as good as that passport is, then sometimes it may have to be renewed, or it may run out. But having said that, if you hold one of these, we are in good stead. Because if you read the front page, then this is what it says. It says that Her Britannic Majesty's Secretary of State requests and requires in the name of Her Majesty all those whom it may concern to allow the bearer to pass freely without let or hindrance and to afford the bearer such assistance and protection as may be necessary. What a sobering thought this is. We can travel, and we know we are being protected by our government, by our monarchy, by the Queen. What a sobering thought. And of course, this is good, isn't it? Because if you like to travel the world, then isn't it good to know that you are protected by the British government? You may like to fly around the world. You may prefer to cruise around the world, depending on what your preference is, of course. But it's good to know that we can get help if necessary. However, having said that, we still have to abide by certain rules and regulations, because if we don't, then our passport can be taken from us and our visa can be cancelled. So then, wouldn't it be good to have something so much more valuable? Yes, it would. And so, we're going to look at a different type of visa now. one that is permanent, one that goes along with your passport, but for life. And this can only be given by one person, and one person alone can do this, and that is God. He is the one that can give you his passport. And when applying for God's passport, which that's God's passport, and when you apply for God's passport and you don't have the forms to fill in like we do today, and we don't have any money to pay neither, but we still have certain stipulations that we have to adhere to, and providing we do this, then we will receive God's benefits. Oh, the government help us, yes, but think of the benefits. We get God's help this time, we get God's protection, we get God's blessings, we are entitled to God's promises, and look at that there, we could have eternal life in God's kingdom, because this is God that's giving us his visa. And without any doubt whatsoever, we must admit, mustn't we, that these blessings are far greater than what the government can give to us. And so then, if we uphold God's principles, believe and trust in his word, then he is willing to stamp our passport with one word, and that is approved. As human beings, we always like to have a reason, don't we, behind things. Behind what we are doing, or what we might like to think what we would want to do. And so, to go to our next stage, then I want to take us back in time, really, to show you the reason why God will give us this visa. And see why God's plan and purpose is with mankind. And you see, his reason for giving us a valid visa for life, and see why he's done it. And if we fill in his forms correctly, abide by his rules, then what a wonderful asset this must be to anyone. And so then, going back in time, we know that in the beginning, God created man. And life as we know it cannot exist without the air that we breathe. God put that there. Without that, then we would die. And God gave us this in the beginning when he first created human life. He tells us this in the beginning of his book. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And so, here we are. We are human beings, created by God. 6,000 years later, we are living proof that what God said is true. And if that air was taken away from us, then we would all die and cease to exist. And another little bit of proof is the graveyards, because the graveyards are full of that fact. They let us know that that breath will be taken away from us and we shall die. We know that, because this is life. And so let's ask the question, do you want to die? Do I want to die? Of course not. If there was some other way, then let's look for it. And see what God's reason is behind it. To think that we could live forever, well, unfortunately, this isn't the case, is it? Because God goes on to say, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for dust, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And so, the British government promised to protect you when you go along with their visa and passports, wherever you may travel to, if at all possible they're in a position to do so. But they cannot promise to give you eternal life. They cannot promise to give you a passport that will last forever, and they cannot promise to forgive your sins. They cannot protect you, whatever, from sin and death. But if I could sell you a visa that would do that, then I no doubt would make millions and millions, because everybody would be wanting one. But I cannot do that. But I can, on the other hand, through God's help, and what He has shown me in His Word, tell you how to apply for one. And it will not cost you £8, that's what it costs for a current passport. All it will cost you is £20 to buy a new Bible. That is, if you haven't got one. And then when you get this Bible, you read it, you learn it, you understand it, you believe it, you trust in it. Why? Because this is one thing that God says you have to do. Because He says, he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and there is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So what will your answer be? Yes, I believe in God then. So, I ask myself the question then, if that is the case, and we fill the first part of our forms in, what must I do then to inherit eternal life? And to be allowed to enter into the kingdom of God? Well, many years ago, there was someone else who thought exactly the same. The very same question came into his mind. And so he asked this question. This man was called Nicodemus. And Jesus said unto him, except a man be born again, how can he see the kingdom of God? That's a very strange answer and question, isn't it? Very strange indeed. How can a man be born again when he's old? How can this happen? It's impossible. Can a man be born again to look like a baby? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? Is this possible? Yes. We are born very young. Yes, and we live our life. And we hope to live many, many years, if that is at all possible. But is it logical or feasible for any of us to go back in time to the very beginning and actually be born again? No. So there must be another explanation. There must be. And what is this explanation? This explanation is baptism. Do you know what baptism is? Well, Jesus was baptized because God said he had to do. And Jesus was baptized and immersed in water. And he had to be eligible to requirement to fulfill God's word. He was baptized according to his Father's will because he believed and he knew he had to do it. And by doing that, his Father said, yes, I am so pleased. And then he goes on to say, yes, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And in exactly the same way, God says to us, follow after Jesus and do what he has done. And so, if you want your visa stamped for life with the promise to live forever, then it is essential that you adhere to Christ's teachings and be baptized. Jesus believed he was baptized. And this, of course, brings us on to another question. How do we go about it? What is it? Well, baptism, in reality, is a word. It's taken from an old Greek word, which is baptismo. And it actually means a complete covering, submerging, regardless of what that liquid may be. And in reality, it is a process that was developed years and years ago for dyeing material and cloth. And even today, the very same principle taken from that word is applied today in dyeing cloth and material. And the idea is that the textiles took the material and they dipped it. And as you can see by the picture, years ago they had these vats. And all the material were pushed into these vats and pushed down, made sure they were completely covered. Modern equipment, of course, is slightly different. They have stainless steel dyeing vessels. And all the material goes in there, the principle is exactly the same. And they're completely covered in the dye. And the reason behind it, what is the reason behind it, is because the material, as you can see there, the dyed yarn is completely even. There's no blemishes in it. Everything has been completely covered. And that's the reason, doesn't it, that if it hadn't been covered, well, you'd have had blots and marks. And imagine coming out in the shirt, there was cream there and white there, because it hadn't been dipped wholly in the dye. That's exactly what the word baptism means, to plunge, to cover. And we have to say at this time that partly covering, sprinkling, this is not scriptural, and this is not the purpose of baptism. It is totally unacceptable. And so then, baptism. The Bible tells us that he that believeth and is baptized, he shall be saved, and this will be on the visa. He that believeth not shall be condemned. And so then, spiritual baptism is exactly the same as dyeing material. Dip, plunge, immerse, total covering of the whole body in water. Anything else is contrary to God's word. Partial covering is not acceptable. Sprinkling is out of the question completely. And as you can see by these pictures, these people from different parts of the world believed exactly like Christadelphians believe. They believe that to be baptized you have to be completely covered in water, immersed. And then they rise back out of the water, they are clean. Clean in the eyes of God. God says they have been born again. Their sins have been forgiven, and they start a new life as a newborn babe. And so, baptism at birth, or christening, along with sprinkling, they are in reality man-made ideas, and is not Christ's teaching, and is not a substitute for baptism. And just as a matter of interest, the reason why it is done today is because from the earliest churches, as religion moved away from the Middle East, the temperature got colder and colder as you moved away from the equator. Simple idea, but it's true. And it was uncomfortable for people to get baptized in the icy cold waters of the Northern Territories, especially when there's no methods of warming the water. And so slowly it has evolved that they used to splash them, and eventually they started sprinkling them, purely because of man's own comfort and man's own idea. And so therefore, because of that, we have got to do one thing, and that's put a cross on those ideas, because it is not acceptable in the eyes of God. Because baptism has a symbolic meaning. Why? Because it refers to death underwater, burial underwater, and resurrecting back out of the water to a new life. You see, when a man dies, he knows nothing. And he can do nothing. He cannot see, cannot speak. He's completely unconscious. His thoughts, his character, they perish. They've gone. Even the love and his envy, everything that he has, it dies with him. And Ecclesiastes told us this fact, doesn't it? For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, and their hatred, their envy, they are now perished, neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. The falsehood is deceit. Your very life of a human being, whether it's good or bad, whether it's indifferent, is gone. It's gone to the grave forever. And he is, as Paul tells us, this is part of the symbolic meaning of death and resurrection. Because if you are dead, you cannot see. If you are buried under the water and you are dead under the water, you are not sinning, and so he that is dead is free from sin. And baptism has the same symbolic meaning. Because when we are under the water, in reality, we cannot do a great deal, can we? We are dead. Why? These are the facts of life. We cannot breathe underwater. In fact, if you stayed there 3 minutes, and no doubt you would be dead. And if you're dead, you have no life. We are in reality in a grave, completely covered. That is what baptism is all about. Buried. We cannot see, we cannot speak, and we cannot breathe. We are, in the eyes of God, dead, buried, and free from sin. And that is why that baptism is a very symbolic meaning of death and resurrection. And when we come up out of the waters of baptism, we too, like Christ, are raised to a new life. Our sins have been forgiven, and we start to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, preaching and practicing the principles laid down by Jesus. Why? Because this is why Jesus had to die. He had to die to allow us to die through baptism. And that we too can be raised, like Jesus was raised, to life eternal. And it is only through Jesus being baptized, living what God wanted him to do, dying on the cross, and being resurrected. Can you not see how the two are joined together through the waters of baptism, and therefore that our sins have then been forgiven? And then we are eligible for salvation, because that will be another line in our visa that God will approve. And Hebrews verifies this, doesn't it? Christ was sacrificed to take away the sins of many people. And he did this, and he will appear a second time to bring salvation to all those who are waiting for him. And so then, if you are willing to listen to God, and realizing that what he says is right, then you should be willing, shouldn't you, to do as what he says. And the Bible once again verifies this fact. And now, being made free from sin through the waters of baptism, you have become servants of God. You have now got your fruits unto holiness, that's the works that you do, and the end will be everlasting life. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. That is why we die in the first place. But through this procedure, then the gift of God will be eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. life as we know it evolves round God. And why? Simple reason why. And that's because God created it in the first place. And why? Because God continues and sustains life. So, let's ask the question. Do you believe in God? Do you believe God created all things? Do you believe in God's plan and purpose? Do you believe in God's principles? Do you believe that Jesus was his son? Believe in every one of these sentences. Do you believe Christ will return? Do you believe in God's kingdom on earth? Do you believe in everlasting life? Do you believe that baptism is necessary for our salvation? If you want a visa, then the answer is yes to every single one of those questions. And you have to earn it by showing to the authorities that you have been honest, that's if we want a British one of course, and truthful in their eyes, fulfilling in all your details and proving to them that you are capable of doing what they want you to do. And many people, because of what they are and because of their misconduct, are denied a visa in this present world. And because of that, they are subsequently refused entry into certain provinces and countries of the world. And we can, of course, on the same account, be refused entry into God's kingdom. And so we have to abide by God's terms and prove to him that we do believe and are honest and are truthful. And only then will he be prepared to stamp our passports and sign our visas with approval. And this would be a guarantee of everlasting life. But if you put no at the end of those questions, then it will be a different story. It will be a different story. When you enter a country, the customs and the authorities there, they will sometimes want to check your passport and make sure that all the details are correct, as they should be. And they may, if you are going to a specific country, they will then check that and your status along with the visa that has been sent to them. And according to your stay, and they will make sure that all your details are correct. And if they aren't, then you will be deported on the next plane back to where you came from. When you arrive at God's passport control, Jesus will do exactly the same, because he will want to verify your credentials. And so he will then check them against what you've told him that you believe and what you've been doing throughout your life. Because when you have been through the waters of baptism, your name will be written in God's files. He has something to look on then. And when Jesus returns, he will have a look. And he will go into his books. And the books were open. And another book was opened, which was the Book of Life. And there we have two books. And there will be thousands of names written down. And I wonder, is my name there? Is your name there? Well, only God knows that. Only God knows that. And you know, it all depends what you have put on your application form. What do you believe? What have you done? But one thing is for sure, baptism is essential for salvation, and you cannot please God without it, and still have your name written in that Book of Life. You cannot do it. God will not allow it. And so he says, all those whose names have not been filled in that book of life, says this. And this is in the other book. And whosoever was not found in that book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And Revelations tells us that. And so if you want God to find your name in the book of life, then you have to send in your application. And you can only do it by going through the waters of baptism. There is no other way to God. No other way. And if you haven't done this, then you haven't applied. And if you haven't applied, then you do not receive any benefits. The Bible is God's word. That's what he's given to us for. And he says it's his word. And he verifies all these facts. And he tells us that God did create all things. That God does have a plan and purpose with the earth. That Jesus is God's son. Christ will return back to this earth. God's kingdom will be given to us with everlasting life to those who believe. Baptism is necessary for all these things that we can enjoy. And so we have to ask the question. And the question is simple. Do you believe it? Yes or no? But regardless of your decision, God is going to have his kingdom. God is going to change this world. And he is going to allow us entry into a kingdom of paradise. A kingdom that is far greater than anything that we could dream of. Whether we want to go to the Caribbean, to Jamaica, or to wonderful paradise places of this world, there is nothing that will compare to the paradise that God can give us. Because he says, I will make a new heaven and a new earth. Not the one we know now, neither have you entered into the heart of man, the wonders that God has in store for those that love him. So you can put all the greatest things in the world together, and they are minute and nothing compared to what God is going to give us in this kingdom. And it's a promise from God, that he will surpass anything that human thoughts have ever even conceived of. And so, to do that, God has to change things. And he is going to change things. And so, the final chapter of God's plan is, he's going to change this world that we now live in, and we have no option. And along this world we live in, we know of all the problems. We know of all the things and the pain that it brings to our lives. But God says, my kingdom is not going to blight the kingdoms of men. That is what we have now. What God says, he says, I will take away the tears. I will take away the sorrow. I will take away the pain. I will take away the death. And that is God's promise. That is in God's kingdom. God's kingdom alone, of which we can all enter with one of his valid visas. And he tells us so in the last book of the Bible. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Need we say any more? This is God's plan and purpose. And all I can say now is thank you for being here. I hope that there's been something that be of interest to you. And I shall sit down now and leave you with one final thought. Thank you.